shipmates. Have you shipped in that ship?
Queequeg and I had just left the Pequod and were sauntering away from the water. For the moment, each occupied with his own thoughts, when the above words were put to us by a stranger, who, pausing before us, leveled his massive forefinger at the vessel in question.
Yes, said I, we have just signed the articles. Anything down there about your souls?
About what?
Oh, perhaps you haven't got any, he said quickly. No matter, though. I know many chaps that haven't got any. Good luck to 'em, and they're all the better off for it. A soul's a sort of a fifth wheel to a wagon. Stop, said the stranger. You haven't seen Old Thunder yet, have ye?
Who's Old Thunder? Said I, again riveted with the insane earnestness of his manner.
Captain Ahab.
What, the captain of our ship, the Pequod?
What did they tell you about him? Say that.
They didn't tell much of anything about him, only I've heard that he's a good whale hunter and a good captain of his crew.
That's true, yes, both true enough. But you must jump when he gives an order. Step and growl, growl and go. That's the word with Captain Ahab. But nothing about that thing that happened to him off Cape Horn, long ago, when he lay like dead for 3 days and nights. Nothing about that deadly scrimmage with the Spaniard afore the altar in Santa. Heard nothing about that, eh? Nothing about the silver calabash he spat into. And nothing about his losing his leg last voyage, according to the prophecy. Ye've shipped, have ye, names down on the papers. Well, well, what's signed is signed, and what's to be will be. And then again, perhaps it won't be, after all. Anyhow, it's all fixed and arranged already, and some sailors or other must go with him, I suppose. As well these as other men, God pity 'em. Morning to ye, shipmates, morning. The ineffable heavens bless ye. I'm sorry I stopped ye.
Morning it is, said I. Come along, Queequeg. Let's leave this crazy man. But stop, tell me your name, will you?
Elijah.
Elijah, thought I, and we walked away, both commenting after each other's fashion upon this ragged old sailor, and agreed that he was nothing but a humbug trying to be a bugbear. But we had not gone perhaps 100 yards when, chancing to turn a corner, and looking back as I did so, who should be seen but Elijah following us, though at a distance. Somehow the sight of him struck me so that I said nothing to Queequeg of his being behind, but passed on with my comrade, anxious to see whether the stranger would turn the same corner that we did. He did, and then it seemed to me that he was dogging us, but with what intent I could not for the life of me imagine. This circumstance, coupled with his ambiguous, half-hinting, half-revealing, shrouded sort of talk, now begat in me all kinds of vague wonderments and half-apprehensions, and all connected with the Pequod and Captain Ahab and the leg he had lost, and the Cape Horn fit, and the silver calabash, and what Captain Peleg had said of him when I left the ship the day previous, and the prediction and the voyage we had bound ourselves to sail, and 100 other shadowy things. A day or two passed, and there was great activity aboard the Pequod. Not only were the old sails being mended, but new sails were coming on board, and bolts of canvas, and coils of rigging. In short, everything betokened that the ship's preparations were hurrying to a close. Captain Peleg seldom or never went ashore, but sat in his wigwam, keeping a sharp lookout upon the hands. Bildad did all the purchasing and providing at the stores, and the men employed in the hold and on the rigging were working till long after nightfall. At last it was given out that some time next day the ship would certainly sail. So next morning, Queequeg and I took a very early start. It was nearly 6 o'clock, but only gray, imperfect, misty dawn, when we drew nigh the wharf. "There are some sailors running ahead there, if I see right," said I to Queequeg. "It can't be Shadow. She's off by sunrise, I guess. Come on."
"Avast!"
cried a voice, whose owner at the same time, coming close behind us, laid a hand upon both our shoulders, and then, insinuating himself between us, stood stooping forward a little, in the uncertain twilight, strangely peering from Queequeg to me. It was Elijah.
"Did ye see anything looking like men going toward that ship a while ago?"
Struck by this plain matter-of-fact question, I answered, saying, Yes, I thought I did see four or five men, but it was too dim to be sure.
Very dim, very dim, said Elijah. Morning to ye.
Once more we quitted him, but once more he came softly after us, and touching my shoulder again, said,
See if ye can find them now, will ye?
Find who?
Morning to ye, morning to ye, he rejoined, again moving off.
Those sailors we saw, Queequeg, where can they have gone to? Said I, looking dubiously at the sleeper. But it seemed that, when on the wharf, Queequeg had not at all noticed what I now alluded to. Hence I would have thought myself to have been optically deceived in that matter, were it not for Elijah's otherwise inexplicable question. It was now clear sunrise. Soon the crew came on board in twos and threes. The riggers bestirred themselves, the mates were actively engaged, and several of the shore people were busy in bringing various last things on board. Meanwhile, Captain Ahab remained invisibly enshrined within his cabin. At last the anchor was up, the sails were set, and off we glided. It was a short, cold Christmas, and as the short northern day merged into night, we found ourselves almost broad upon the wintry ocean, whose freezing spray cased us in ice as in polished armor. The long rows of teeth on the bulwarks glistened in the moonlight, and like the white ivory tusks of some huge elephant, vast curving icicles depended from the bows. At last we gained such an offing that the two pilots were needed no longer. The stout sailboat that had accompanied us began ranging alongside. It was curious and not unpleasing how Peleg and Bildad were affected at this juncture, especially Captain Bildad. Poor old Bildad lingered long, paced the deck with anxious strides, looked aloft, looked right and left, looked everywhere and nowhere, and at last, mechanically coiling a rope upon its pin, convulsively grasped stout Peleg by the hand, and holding up a lantern, for a moment stood gazing heroically in his face, as much to say, Nevertheless, friend Peleg, I can stand it. Yes, I can. Come, come, Captain Bildad, stop palavering. Away! And with that, Peleg hurried him over the side, and both dropped into the boat. Ship and boat diverged. The cold, damp night breeze blew between. A screaming gull flew overhead. The two hulls wildly rolled. We gave three heavy-hearted cheers and blindly plunged like fate into the lone Atlantic.